Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. We have Blackhawks hockey tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. They're 2-for-2 since Corey Crawford's return. They go for 3 in a row tonight with Florida Panthers in town on Authentic Fan Night. A special hour-long Blackhawks pregame live drops the puck on our coverage at 6:30. Pat Foley, Steve Conroy have the call at 7:30. Sports Talk Live on location on the concourse at the United Center. We're talking pucks, Devin Hester's ridiculousness, and the Bulls' winning streak thanks to the 1-2 punch of Nico and Portis. It all starts right now. And good evening. Welcome in here to Sports Talk Live. I'm David Kaplan. Everything brought to you, as always, by our great corporate partners at the Chevy Silverado. To my left, Steve Conroy. You'll hear him on the call tonight. Blackhawks and Panthers. Chris Hine from the Chicago Tribune. Sam Panionovich from the Chicken Dinner Podcast at WGN Radio. All right, Hawks look for their third straight. Pat Boyle had said to me it's essential to get 5 of 6 points during these three games with Arizona, Buffalo, and Florida. Tonight, a great chance to make it 6 for 6.
And that would be even better. And I don't think, and Chris, you could probably correct me, I don't think we've had a three-game winning streak this year, consecutive three-game.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I think it's just been 2 and a couple overtime losses sprinkled in
right,
there.
But right, yeah. So maybe 5 points in 6 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's surprising for a Chicago Blackhawk team. And when you look at the Central standings, and everyone who played last night in the Central won again, and it's just one of those things where if you want to move up in the standings, you've got to put together a 4, 5, 6-game winning streak to really make up any kind of room.
It hasn't looked pretty. You come into this stretch and you think, oh, we got a couple of basement dwellers in the standings and, you know, this Blackhawks team should put them away. And these games have not been easy games. You know, they pull away finally in the third period the other night. They had to go to overtime to take care of Buffalo. And, you know, this is a Florida team that they beat pretty good down in Florida. So you expect them to come in here tonight at home, day of rest, and put on a good performance. But this team has been so up and down this year that I'm not sure what to expect tonight.
I don't remember the last time the Blackhawks played such pressure-laden hockey in December. What, 2011, right, when they just got into the playoffs and had to go against Vancouver. This is crazy to me. You look at the standings, too. There are 7 teams within 5 points in the wild card standings. So the Blackhawks are playing for, you know, something every single night. And, of course, they're 3-time champs in this era. Everybody wants a piece of the Blackhawks. Tommy Wingles is your hero in the third period last couple of games. This has been a season I don't think anybody could have explained.
Do you think that these teams are rolling in? And, yes, the Hawks aren't at the top of the standings, but it's still the Indian Head.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the Chicago Blackhawks. It's still Kane and Taves and Keith and Seabrook and Crawford. Or the Hawks are playing down to the level of their competition.
I think it's the other way around. I think you hit it on the head. I think a lot of teams, especially struggling teams, come in here and, you know, you get the crowd and the national anthem. And the Blackhawks are the gold standard. And I know they didn't win the Stanley Cup last year, but, what, 3 of the last 7 or 8 years they have. So if a team's struggling, hey, we can beat the Blackhawks at home, this could catapult us on a bit of a winning streak. So it always seems like, you know, the Blackhawks have a target on their back, as they probably should. And the other thing, too, and Joel Quenneville talked about it this morning, no easy games in the NHL anymore. Really, there's not that much difference between the first and 30th place. Well, there is a little bit, I guess. But, you know, when you start talking about, you know, 10 through 30, there's not a lot of room there. And that's where the Blackhawks are. So, you know, it's just a fact of life. If they can start stringing together some, you know, I looked at Nashville, who didn't start very well this year. They're 13-2-2 their last 17 games. That's the kind of run you need to separate yourself from everyone else.
They may have the target on their back, but we've seen in previous years they've been good enough to overcome whatever extra motivation an opponent might have coming in here. This year, it seems like, I don't want to say it's like a continuation of the playoff series last year, where it seems like they're trying to amp up the intensity level, and it hasn't been there at times this year. It's still early in the season, and traditionally the last few years we've seen, as the season has gone longer, January and February have been where they've made their big moves in the regular season, where they'll string together 9 out of 10 wins. So I'm still waiting to see if that maybe happens at some point this year, but right now it's The inconsistency is a little puzzling so far.
If you would have told me back in October their best players in the first handful of months would be DeBrincat, Ruda, and Forsling, I would have thought you were crazy, right? I mean, who would have thought that these three young guys would be carrying the bread for them? I'm waiting. There's a lot of time left for the Hall of Fame players to be their best players. I'm looking at Taves. Kane's been pretty good like he always is. Keith, Seabrook, Crawford's been a rock. But the best players have to be your best players.
I got to ask you about Jonathan Taves. It seems like he gets knocked off the puck more easily. Is that a factor of he's taken a lot of weight off, he changed his diet, or he's just had a lot of mileage on his body?
It's probably a combination of the two. Obviously, a lot of miles on his body. He has been getting knocked off the puck. I've noticed a little bit of a difference, too, in messing passes. You know, giving bad passes, getting passes that he kind of fumbles, too. That could all be fatigue. But, listen, this is a team that got knocked out four straight last year in the playoffs. They had an extra long summer. The year before, an extra long summer, even though it went a little farther in the first round. So, there should be no excuses now. Sam, I totally agree. They're best players. You know, you look at it and you talk to about Corey and DeBrincat. I think the fourth line has maybe been the most consistent line from the beginning till now. So those guys have to get going. I think it'll Brandon Saad in there too. And he had a big game down in Florida. Hopefully he has a big game today, as did Jonathan Taves. But I think if those guys get playing to their potential, it really changes a lot of things.
You know, I look back to when we talk about Taves, it's not as if he's completely disappeared the last two seasons. He had that stretch last February where he was playing with Nick Schmaltz and Richard Panik, where that line was among the most dangerous in hockey, and that's what propelled the Hawks to that. I think they won 9 out of 10 in February, and they vaulted to the top spot in the Western Conference standings. So he has shown that he can still turn it on. It's just a matter of what is it going to take for him to get to that level.
What is the deal with Panik? Because you're paying this guy significant money to be a significant offensive threat, you're not getting it.
And now he's going to be a healthy scratch in all likelihood tonight. He's a guy who, having covered him the last few seasons, he's a guy who relies a lot on confidence. And if he sees something go right, things will go right subsequently for him. If something goes bad for him, it can tend to snowball. You know, confidence can be a bit of an issue with him, and he can be a little shaky and a little fragile in that department. So he got off to such a blazing hot start last year that I think it snowballed in a good direction for him, and he ends up with 22 goals and 22 assists. This year, he's going through, I think it's 21 straight games without a goal, and it gets in your head a little bit. And I think, you know, I think Quenneville's doing the right thing here in terms of sitting him out for at least tonight, and maybe get his thoughts, get his head together, rest up a little bit, maybe see the game from a different perspective. But he needs something to go right first before it can snowball in a good direction for him.
There have been lots of ups and downs for a lot of different players, and we've brought up a lot of names here. The one name we haven't brought up yet, Artem Anisimov. For years, the Hawks needed a second-line center, and he has quietly gone about his business, two-way player, wins, draws, he's good on the puck, leads the team in goals, and we don't even talk about him, right? He gets lost in the conversation of all the good players and the struggling players. He has been really good, 15 in red. Artem Anisimov anchoring Patrick Kane, playing with Nick Schmaltz. I think that guy has been so under the radar here in Chicago, and we take it for granted.
Well, he has, but also look who he's playing with. And he struggled at the beginning of the year. I think he only had one goal in his first 10 games, and then he gets reunited with Patrick Kane. He scored a couple goals before he got reunited with Kane, but I think it was the game in Carolina. He gets back with Kane and Schmaltz. And listen, Patrick Kane makes those around him a lot better. And I'm not taking anything away from Anisimov because he's got a special skill set. He's big, he's got good hands, and he knows where to go. But Patrick Kane, obviously a lot of help on that line.
Also getting Corey Crawford back. For me, he's the MVP of this team. He's been magnificent, and he's gotten better every year. And now that he's back, they look better.
Yeah, you know, especially when you talk about the way they've won the last two games, and somebody mentioned, you know, tie games late in the third period. Who do you want in net? You want a guy like Corey Crawford because nothing seems to rattle him. And that's the thing. You know, Joel talks about his consistency. I just love his demeanor. It's always worrying about the next shot. It's not by, you know, something that happened in the first period or a goal that beat him. He's just totally focused on stopping that next shot, and I think that's what puts him in the top three in the NHL right now. Sergei Bobrovsky playing very well. I think Jonathan Quick, an elite goaltender. I would put Corey Crawford right in that threesome.
I read a stat today that Crawford has 9 games this year where he's allowed one goal or 0 goals, and I think that ranks only behind Bobrovsky in the NHL, so that tells you right there how important he is. He's given them a chance to win on a nightly basis.
It's so weird for me to hear you praise Corey Crawford, Kev. I know you turned around. I know you came around eventually. I remember the days when you used to go in, though.
Yeah, that was 2013.
So, I know, but still.
4 years later.
I know. It's still weird for me.
I'm this guy's biggest fan now. He's a stud.
Things change, I guess.
Yeah, he's a really good goaltender, and the Hawks are very blessed to have him. They'll take on Florida tonight. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Cap.
Have a good pleasure. Broadcast.
All right.
You got it. There he is. We will talk Devin Hester next. We got a whole lot to get to. Winter meetings are going on. Devin Hester is hanging him up. Mr. Ridiculous will join us. Is he a Hall of Famer? We'll get into that discussion next on STL.
Hi, guys.
I'm Tara Lipinski.
And I'm Johnny Weir.
Guess what, Johnny?
What?
The Winter Olympics are right around the corner. And what does that mean?
Yay. That means we get to see Shaun White, Michaela Schifrin, and other top Team USA athletes conquer fresh snow and ice this February on NBC.
So make sure you're ready. Sign up for NBC Sports and Olympics emails by texting POD to 66866, or you can visit nbcolympics.com/newsletters to receive the latest athlete updates, giveaways, and more.
Message and data rates may apply. Winter is here.
Hawks fans, text LOTTERY to BHAWKS now for a chance to win a flyaway trip or two to a Blackhawks road game courtesy of the Illinois Lottery. That's LOTTERY to 242957. Be sure to watch the drawing in the second period of tonight's game.
Hester, under it, and to the middle with the 15, to the 20, breaks free of the 25, to the 30, to the outside, 40, midfield, 40, 30 of the cone, 20, 15, Hester 5. Oh!
Devin Hester was ridiculous, and now he's called it a career, officially announcing his retirement this morning. Check out our stat line, driven by the Chevy Silverado. This is how ridiculous he was for the Bears. Matt Forte leads the Bears with the most touchdowns scored from 06 to today. The man at second, Devin Hester, with 33 total touchdowns, more than offensive players like Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Greg Olsen. He's our Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Will Devin Hester be inducted into the Football Hall of Fame? Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. We're on the concourse here at the United Center in advance of Blackhawks and Florida Panthers. Don't forget, it is Authentic Fan Night here tonight. So come on out and be an authentic fan before the Hawks and the Panthers. Is he a Hall of Famer?
The Hall of Fame to me is the best of the best. And return men-wise, I think of Deion Sanders, I think of Devin Hester. That stat right there is incredible. 33 touchdowns, and he touched the ball, what, 7 times a game maybe? They tried him at receiver. Maybe he touched it 10 or 11 times. But as a return man, he was the best of the best. Him and Deion are right there for me. Field position for them, when he got the ball at the 10, he took it to the 40.
But
when he got
the question
20,
is, will he be in the Hall of Fame?
He better be in the Hall of Fame, or there's something wrong with the Hall of Fame.
I don't know that he's going to be. I think he should be. I don't know that he will be. I think when you get down to Hall of Fame voting, people that vote on these things, whether it's, you know, baseball or football or basketball, the writers tend to be very picky and selective about who they let into the Hall of Fame. And there are a lot of hardliners, especially in the NFL, who I don't think they're as easy to let in a special teamer as we might in Chicago think, because we were so close to Hester for so long.
So I had this debate with John Yurkovich today, who played a long time, 10, 11 years in the National Football League. And Yurko said, in his opinion, no chance is he a Hall of Famer. He said, if you don't play a regular position, he said, you're telling me, he goes, no disrespect to what he did, he was the best at it.
Right.
But he said, you're going into the Hall of Fame and you're telling me Lance Briggs, a 6-time Pro Bowler who played 10 times the number of snaps as you, he's not going in. Peanut Tillman, he's not going in. And this guy is? No shot. That's Yurko, who played the game for a long time.
And I think that attitude is very prevalent among the NFL and those that cover the NFL who are the voters of the Hall of Fame. It's easy for us to sit here on his retirement day and say, oh yeah, Devin Hester, he's the best return man of all time. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But I think we're looking at it through rose-colored glasses a little bit, the perception of special teamers getting in the Hall of Fame. I don't think it's as easy as slam dunk of a Hall of Fame induction as we think.
One kicker's in, Jan Stenerud.
Yes. One punter
who took forever to get in, the best of all time,
Ray Guy.
And there are people saying Steve Tasker, who's the greatest special team player. And Yurko's take is he couldn't play defense, he couldn't play offense,
So he was a gunner on special teams, and that puts you in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
His response to it was, okay, then does Pat Manley go in because he's the best long snapper of all time? And I love Pat. He's a friend of mine.
Right.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
Long snappers could not do what Devin Hester did, though. And I think that
Devin Hester couldn't do what a long snapper
right,
does.
But, I mean, you talk about exciting plays. That's one of the most exciting plays in football. The return, the kick return, the punt return.
No one's saying it's not.
I understand. I mean, I can name 10 better linebackers at, you know, Lance Briggs' position. I can name 20 better corners than Charles Tillman. I don't think I can name a better return man than Devin Hester.
And I think that's why he should be in the Hall of Fame, is because I think because of the way that he affected the game, And his impact on the game for so long is why he should be in. Terrell Owens didn't even get in the Hall of Fame. The second leading receiver
Randy
of all
Moss
time.
Isn't in
because
yet.
Because writers have these preconceived notions and they're the gatekeepers of the game, and so they only let you in under certain circumstances and at certain times. So I think it's more of a hurdle than people think right now.
He's going to have to wait 5 years anyway to be eligible.
Is he in?
If you're voting, is he in? I think he's going to get in.
If you had a vote.
I probably would, because I think he's the greatest at what his skill was. And for me, it's part of the game.
Right.
Yurko's response is, hey, man, he can't play a regular position, so he's out there and he returns some kicks. Yes, he was great at it. He's not a Hall of Famer. For me, if I'm voting, I would put him
would
in.
Would you? Let's say a baseball player was the best pinch hitter of all time. Would you put that guy in the Hall of Fame?
Right. Does Rusty Staub belong in the Hall of Fame?
Right. It's one play, one shot a game. Does that get you in?
Probably not.
Probably not. Right?
Right. And so I understand both Carmen and Yurko with their take. I understand it. There are a lot of NFL types that will say exactly what he said. Hey, man, you were great. You're not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you're not tough. You didn't play every snap, right? Yeah, exactly. I understand the argument, but still, he's the best of the best. You just said it.
At what he did, he was the best. But does that get you in?
It should. It might not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys, if you look back throughout all football, there were some great players that played all the time that don't get in.
We'll see.
All right, we got to take a quick timeout. Brian Campbell, Soupy, is going to join us here on set. Blackhawks and his old club, the Florida Panthers. Lock horns here tonight at the United Center. We'll be right back on Authentic Fan Night. Don't forget it.
When the game ends, switch back to CSN Chicago for Bears postgame live. The team will take you through all the key moments from the field, hear from Coach Fox, and get live player reactions. Bears postgame live after every Bears game on CSN Chicago.
It's Blackhawks Authentic Fan Night here at the United Center. Make sure you're sharing your Blackhawks fandom throughout the game using the hashtag AuthenticFan. For more information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF. And welcome back here to the concourse at the United Center. This is Sports Talk Live brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan, and we are joined by Soupy Campbell. Your former club skates into the United Center tonight, the Florida Panthers. This is a big game for the Hawks because you have a chance to take 6 points in three games and get right back on track.
Yeah, I think for the Hawks, you look at what's ahead, too. They're going into Winnipeg on Thursday, and they haven't had a lot of success there. Winnipeg's playing really well at home. So, for me, I think it's, if they can finish this before the Christmas break, if they can finish real strong and collect quite a few points out of it and put themselves and vault themselves up and into a little bit more of a comfortable position in the wild card spot. So I think it's big to finish this off tonight.
When you look at the game a couple weeks ago, they go play at Pittsburgh. And I remember I'm going home, I'm going to get some dinner with my son, and we're going to watch the game. And I said, Brett, I don't think this is going to go well, because the Hawks won 10-1 the opener. Said they're going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going to be angry. And the Hawks were awesome. Won the game 2-1. Where is that hockey club when you see some of the struggles they've had?
Yeah, I think you look at some of the games they've had, and I'm sure Chris knows a lot too, but the Tampa Bay game, they played really good in Tampa. They had a couple stretches maybe like three weeks ago in that Pittsburgh game was one of them where they really were skating well. Obviously they went through the five games in seven nights, which is a tough sledding right there with that schedule. I think it's been consistency throughout the whole season. And, I think Joel's talked about it. They play a good first period, have a off second period, and then they go into the third and they play better. So If we could put a finger on it, or the coaches could, obviously the power play has been a little bit of a thorn in the side, and that can really vault a team and get them going and take a lot of slack off them.
With the power play, do you sense it's a systemic thing, or is this kind of a thing where there's so many talented guys on this team that eventually this thing is going to turn itself around?
Well, it should turn around. What they've done in the last couple of games is gone to they've changed it up and gone to their old units like they did before Panarin got here and had the overload on the one side with Johnny. And I know Patrick's kind of hoping that can work again, and I can see it working. I think it's just you'd like to maybe see these units set in stone for, say, okay, here you guys got five games. Get this done, or we're changing it and you're off the power play, or somebody's off the power play and we're moving in new guys. So a little bit more consistency I think would help those guys, because sometimes they get out there with different guys. And the whole thing about a power play, obviously, is creating some shots, creating some momentum, but it's also on the rebounds, where if you take a shot and the puck goes into the corner, it's knowing where your outs are. There's no time in today's game to turn around, look to know where your outs are. You have to just go shoot the puck or pass the puck right away to where you know Patrick Kane's going to be set up, or whoever it is. But usually it's Kane on the half wall, so that's where I'd be looking to go every time. So I think with consistency that would help.
I really enjoy hearing veterans on this team and Coach Q talk about Forsling. You know the blue line better than most. What stands out about his game? I hear a lot about hockey IQ. I hear about poise. What do you think stands out about Forsling?
Well, I think it's any sports is number one is confidence. You know, it was like any player that goes and plays, it's all about the confidence. He actually didn't have a great training camp, and then he's just picked up. He was a little slow his first couple of games, then he's picked up. So I think he was in last year and probably at the start of this year, he felt like he was just trying not to make a mistake and just trying to make some easy plays. And now he's actually taken some initiative with his game to make a difference. And I think Alf Samuelson's obviously helped.
Before we get out of here, I got to ask you, the guy they call Kitty, Alex DeBrinket.
Yeah.
This kid's a stud. Can this keep up at that size?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how he plays in Winnipeg, you know, against the bigger teams in the league. But his head, if you guys just watch him play and look at his head, it never goes down to the ice. It's amazing. So he's got some talent.
Thanks, man, for being here.
Thanks, Cap.
You guys, all the best. Best of luck, man.
Thank Happy
you.
Holidays.
You got it. Happy holidays to everybody. Shout out to Eddie Olczyk. He just finished treatment 7. Edzo, you're the best. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.